Blog Talk Radio.
The one and only Mr. Hot Time Black is online with this topic, and I appreciate it.
Man up, man up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
To tell it how I see it, because I've been on both sides of the coin.
Those who are checking the show, the Man Up Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Dow Harrington, and welcome to the show as another host, of course.
Man up, man up.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
When you meet people, you wanna know their knowledge. You wanna know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you to this day? And if you know somebody who can help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant.
We are on deck. Want to welcome everyone to the show. Listen to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. Well, I checked you out earlier. Once again, yours from Mr. Nas. And I want to say
a special...
I think all you men have nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do. Have things done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's a risk.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives me. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Nah, he say nobody. You have to wait right here.
What you mean, wait right here? You know who I am, boy?
Man, Steve wants to see Avon.
Making me wait to see my own partner.
He knew, Strang.
Fuck that. A lot of new faces around here, man. Way too many, you ask me. The fuck out of here. Where are you going at?
He'll be along shortly.
That's good, because I came to see you anyway.
What you need?
I need you to hit somebody.
Who we hit?
Clay Davis.
The Clay Davis? Downtown Clay Davis?
That's supposed to mean something to me, man. That nigga need to be got.
Shit, Spring murder ain't no thing. But this here's some assassination
nigga,
shit.
I told you, you getting somebody? You getting them. I ain't asking.
Damn, Spring, I don't know.
Nigga, I gotta remind him who the fuck you work for.
Hey, I think Slim gonna have to sit this one out, boss. So you finna go hit a state senator now, huh? Yo, you kill a downtown nigga like that, the whole world gonna stand up and take notice. I'm talking about the state police, federals, all of that. You need a Dan and Jackson type motherfucker basically to do some shit like that, not a rumble tumble nigga like Slim.
That nigga took our money, man.
I seen it coming.
Well, you gotta go.
Ah, you a fucking businessman. You wanna handle it like that. You don't wanna get all gangsta wild with it and shit, right? What I tell you about playing them fucking away games?
Yeah.
They saw your ghetto ass coming from miles away, nigga. You got a fucking beef with them? That shit is on you.
Yeah, yeah, just straight up, no chaser and to the point. Once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show, everyone. What's going on? How's everybody doing this evening? I just thought it was appropriate we start with the topic choices. I said, let me come on in with this over the wire segment right there. You know, first of all, big shout out, of course, salute to my brothers, Edward L. Fairley, my brother, Daryl Harrington. Can't forget about my man, Hassan Black. Can't forget about one and only Mr. Tom Reynolds, DeLacy Davis, and, of course, the one and only Miss Signature Black. And all those who holds down the Man Up Talk Show and those who listen, we welcome you to tonight's show. We're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to talk about choices, the choices that we make, the choices that we do, the things that you got to think before you do something. So every day you wake up, you got a choice to do, whether you're washing your behind, whether you're brushing your teeth. Because if you don't wash your ass and brush your teeth, you know, you're going to get sent home from work or school, whatever. You know, it is what it is. That's just the reality of the situation. Damn. But as the brothers get themselves together to call into the show, you know, we just trying to hold down this show tonight. You know, we're going to have a good time. My man Crazy K, he's in the booth. He's going to give us some that after-work party dance mix. We're going to do a little bit. We're going to have a good time tonight. But we're going to talk about choices. I guess until the brothers get on, I'm going to kick this damn thing off. Choices. And as my man Eddie would say, where can we start from at this point? The choices that we make, whether you're choosing a spouse, whether you're choosing a job, whether you're choosing a place to live, you gotta think about it. It's all about what they call it, a choice and effect. So when you're making a choice and when you're getting up in the morning, you're making a choice when you're looking for a job. You also got to think about some things that you do in life. You know you want that raise. You know you deserve that raise, but it's all about timing. It's all about when to ask it. You know, you want to ask for that raise. You've been there for a long time, but what have you done and what have you proven to validate you getting that raise? So, we're going to delve into that a little bit from the job aspect. And I'm also going to talk to our young men out here. We got a lot of young men who make dumb mistakes based off of their choices. Some of these guys keep making these same errors over and over again because of the choices that they made. It's because of the choices they made, they keep putting themselves in the same situation. So if you keep making the same dumb choices and getting the same bad results, it becomes what they call a bad habit. So you got to reassess it. So all my listeners, especially the young brothers, you know, who's made mistakes and you don't understand why you keep making the same mistake, think about the choices that you make. Think about, damn, why am I always in trouble? If you're around certain people who just generate negative, just entity, just negative BS, you may want to reassess the person that you're around. It ain't about holding it down. It ain't about keeping it real. Or we grew up in the same hood. It doesn't matter. We all grow up. We all grow apart. So you got to make a choice on the people that you surround yourself with. You always have a choice. So don't get locked down on, I grew up, this is my man, this is how we roll. It's not even about that. It's about understanding what's the results from this. If you surround yourself with positive people and strong people, you're going to have positive and strong results. That's a guarantee. Now, if you, let's just take it to the young people right here. I'm talking to the ages, say the teens. The teens who's impressionable, watching what's happening on TV, BET, they seeing what's happening in the hood. They feel they got to throw this gang sign up to survive. Yeah, you may have a choice you have to make when you dealing with certain things. You may have to kind of coexist. You got to play devil's advocate. You can be smiling friends with them, but you don't need to be part of what they're doing. What I mean by that, you got to understand, when you say, hey, look, you won't be down with us, think about that choice you're about to make. Think about that answer you're about to give that homie. Nah, man, you know, I'm good with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Give them a dap, whatever you want to do. You got to think about it. Because once you commit to that, there's a result to that. Because they're going to expect you to ride and die with that decision when you join the gang and that. So I'm just talking to some young people out there because I have a couple of young brothers that listen to the show and I'm talking to you. And they're out of the North New Jersey area. You know, and I just hope that this young man makes the right decision. He said he was being approached about being involved with the gang activity. I said, you know, I know it's hard because you live in that environment. You got to walk through it every day. But think about the decision that you're making. I know sometimes you can be faced with decisions that you have to get along and ride with them, but you don't have to. Think about the end results. So let's speed up now. To those out of high school, got your high school diploma, you're good to go, you're just doing your damn numbers, you're ready to attack the world. But you know, I want to take time off. I want to get this job. Okay, you get a job. You kind of put college to the side a little bit. Okay, but that was your initial goal when you got out of high school. But, you know, I can come back. Think about that, because once you get a piece of that money, and I'm talking to, you know, a lot of young people who graduated, as soon as they get a little piece of job, they're thinking, oh, man, I'm making $10 an hour. I'm paid. You're not paid. You're still living at home with moms or grandmoms and stuff like that, and you lost track of your goal. Think about the end results. So now you're at the job 2 years, 5 years, straight out of high school. Then promotions come up. They bypass you because, one, you don't have a degree. But that choice could have been made a long time ago. So, once again, think about the end results. You kind of look at everything. So I'm talking to those young people. Let's speed it up a little bit. Let's go to those fellas and ladies, maybe 22 to 25 at this point. At this point, either you're out of college, you know, about to end college, or you're in the work world, you're living at home, whatever. You're doing what you got to do. You're hustling. Just because you're the age, think about what you're doing right now. That's a party age. It's, you know, you're just doing everything. You're just living your life, you know. You just have a Teflon Don attitude about you. Think about it. What's your next game plan? Are you living for today, or are you thinking about tomorrow? Think about the people that you're around. Think about the things you do. You get involved in a relationship. Understand. Take your time. Make a friend with that individual, whether it's male or female. Understand the relationship you get into, because right there, that's a real, you know, real key age area right there, that mid-20s. You're living life, you're having fun, but at the same time, you're trying to make these adult decisions. Take the time to listen to those older people who's experienced something that they can tell you something. You know, oh, I don't want to hear that. But sometimes you need to hear other people's mistakes so you don't have to walk in the same potholes. I'm just saying. That's just real talk. I'm just saying, you may want to evaluate that. Now, we're going to go to a brief music segment, and when we come back, I'm going to bring on the one and only Signature Black, and, of course, my man Eddie, and Dad will be online. And we're going to attack a little bit more about the choices that we make, 30s and so forth and so on. Then we're going to delve into the relationship aspect of choices that we make. You know, in your relationship, you make that dumb decision to mess up your or jeopardize your relationship and what's the end result. So without no further ado, I'm going to bring my man Crazy K on a 1 and 2. It's Friday night. We're having a good time. This is the Man of Talk Show. Got the fellas ready to go. And, you know, just sit back, listen, and enjoy. Tonight's topic, choices. Come on, K, what you got for me, baby?
Shadow. Yeah.
We are back once again. Sometimes you got to get a little groan on. You know, it's Friday night. I'm just in the mood to just get our little dance shoes on and just attack this topic right here. Once again, I want to welcome, of course, the one and only Miss Signature Black. What's going on?
Hello, hello. Oh, everything's good.
Hola,
how are you?
Hola. Hola. What are the things they say in Spanish? I don't know. What's going on, Sig? What's going on? Dow just hit me up. He said he was going to be on at 8 o'clock. He had a prior engagement. So he's handling that one for the political trails that he's doing.
Great.
So what's going
Eddie
on with you? How was your
may
week?
Not be, Eddie may not be calling in tonight.
I kind of figured that at this point. Is he still sick?
No, now his wife is sick.
Oh, not the whole family. That's right, because I think the kids were sick. I think his wife may have had the sniffles, but now she's full blast, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to keep him in prayer, so I guess he got better.
I don't know if he sounds better. He sounds a lot better. But, yes, he's sick now, so I talked to him earlier. We're worried about him. But, yeah, he sounds better, but she's sick.
Nah, he got to take care of the family, you know. So, I mean, that's without even being thought. I kind of figured that, and as long as, you know, Brick City, my man Brick City, like, where is he? And I texted him. I was like, well, you know, more than likely. Remember, he was sick last week. He was, like, kind of sound like Barry White then. I said, I know the family was coming out with some. So, I'm hoping that he you know, pulls through that change of weather is beating everybody up.
Yeah, and between that and if you have allergies or anything else, the pollen count has been crazy high everywhere.
Yeah, I got you. Sound tired. You good?
I'm good. I was messing with my son. It's probably why I sound like that. I was harassing my son for like 2 hours straight.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm good.
I mean, my allergies. I take these pills. It makes me feel good at night, but they work. It's allergy medicine. They got to take it at nighttime. So I take that with the eye drops and the nasal, all other crap. But it helps me. It also helps me go to sleep. But thank you, Doc. Dr. Gazerski, big shout out to you. Thank you. But
I don't have allergies. I feel bad for everybody who do. My kids have allergies, and I feel that's the only time I really feel bad for them. I'm like, whoa, allergies kick me in the butt a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know my son is in the military. That days he can't go outside because of his allergy.
Yeah, and they got to run the air conditioning and all this stuff in the car and all that.
Yeah, it's just terrible. They got day and nighttime medicine, and I'm like, wow.
Okay. Because, at the end of the day, I sit there and said, all my boys is just, they sick. I know that Oz is sick. I spoke to him yesterday. He's sick, and he had to go to work. Tom is on the NAACP trail because I want to get him. I told him to call in. Tom, if you listening, call in because I need to holler at you about the California NAACP decisions and choices they made.
Exactly.
I need to holler at you.
But you know what?
I need to come at you, bro.
That was the first thing I thought. I really wanted to get him, and I was like, he'll be like, this is a text. He'll be like, Sig, shut up. So.
I've been yearning for this all week long.
I want the listeners to know, Sweet Tom is a beast behind the scenes. He'll say anything to me off the air. And it's like, wow, did he put me in my place? Are you kidding me? No, I wanted to get him, and I was like, I'm going to text Tom right now.
I've been salivating on this all week about the choices. I said, yo, Dale, you speak to Tom before I do. Tell him to call in. I need to holler at him.
Oh, my God. No, but you know what? Everybody was, they were talking about that. That's been a big thing, you know. How could they want to give him this award? And let's face it, if you write a big enough check to anything, they'll award you with anything. That's why they got so many honorary degrees floating around.
See, you know what? There you
seriously.
Go. See, now you open a Pandora's box on that one right there.
I know I've written some checks to avoid sitting on boards and doing stuff. And then you get awarded for stuff, and you're like, what the heck is this award for? You know, and people go back, well, you know, you wrote a check for so-and-so. Oh, did I? So you give a big enough check to an organization or to anything, and they give you an award. And I think the awards need to be based on work, not your monetary. I sat there and I wrote a check. He probably didn't even write the check. I'm sure somebody else wrote it.
You know that my man, I mean, I'm trying to pull it up now, the head of that NAACP chapter, you know he resigned. You know that, right?
Yeah. He had no choice. He wanted to live.
Wow.
Because let's be honest. This is a choice. He made a choice for life. Because no matter what you do, once you inflame people of color, when I'm really correct when I get it, once you inflame people of color, no matter what the bottom line is, no matter what the truth is, no matter what the logic is behind it, you got a war on your hands. And he needs to be able
to go in
and out of his house and not have his house blown up or anything happen to it. He needs to make sure that he's safe and his family's safe. And he needs the big boy, and he did the right thing. He manned up, and he resigned. And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And he's right, resigned, because I made the choice to give this man an award. And I need to separate my choice from this organization, because that's not what the organization is about. So I applaud him for that choice that he made, even though it was probably selfish. I applaud him. It looks good.
No, you're right. You know, in those respects right there, you got to applaud him. I found his name. The name of the gentleman is Leon Jenkins.
That's his name.
The president, right, Leon Jenkins. You know, and the powers may be, you know, they probably all agreed, it was probably a board, when that check came and they cleared, and, you know, they said, well, we need to give this man an award. I mean, and that's something that I say, not just as African-American people need to look at, that, you know, we have all these people that donate high amounts of money to nonprofit or NAACP or what's the other one?
ACLU.
United Negro College, right. You know, think about it. Are they doing it just for a tax write-off and also to kind of settle some other pending lawsuits?
I don't think that that's not always it because, okay, I'm guilty. I'm going to go ahead and say that before my dad blasts me. I didn't know he's listening. I'm guilty, Daddy. I'm guilty. I believe in the works, you know. But you get attached to so many things that – You can't make everything. It was something. I was engaged to this guy. We were on his board together. Major function coming up, and I was like, I can just write a check because I don't want to share this with him, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was my thought. I'll just write a fat check for personal reasons. I'm being a brat. I don't want to have to do this event with him. When it came down to it, and my dad was fussing, he's like, well, I can't be there, so you're going to be there. And I was like, I don't want to be on the board with him. He's like, it's not about your relationship with him. That had nothing to do with that organization. And if you think writing a check is going to get you over, it's not. And, you know, he was right. He said it's too easy to write a check and then puff your chest out and say, I've done something. But did you put in any work behind that money that you donated? Do not stop donating. We're not saying that. Write the check. All day long.
No, yeah, definitely.
To your charities and to your foundation.
But that check is not going to clear you, like you said. It's not going to clear your other choices and things that you've done already. It don't justify the racist behavior or the abuse that you've done.
Yeah. So, and it won't get you off the hook. So write the checks. Please keep contributing to all the organizations and charities and the 501s that you want to contribute to. We're not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is, I know that I sit down every year in December and I decide these are my charities that I am, this is for me personally. This is what I'm donating to personally. And behind that donation, if I donate to a foundation, I'm doing something. I'm doing some event with them within that next year because it's more than just the money. They need the time. They need the volunteers. They need the whole nine yards. And I think people should donate to causes that truly move them and not a cause that will make them look good. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes.
Right.
But I'm just saying, your motivation behind why you want to make this donation or whatever, if you're doing it for selfish reasons, keep on writing your check, but just don't puff your chest out because if I walk past you, I'm going to pop you in it.
Wow.
If you're doing it because you believe in it, and I love putting people on the spot, if you're doing it because you believe in that charity for whatever reason or whatever you decide to do to get behind that, then I applaud you. Now, can you, on top of that check, give that organization some hours of your time. And if you are one of those busy, those people that, I'm so busy. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have improper time management if you are too busy to give 8 hours to an organization.
Basically, put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you a question, Sig. I mean, well, first of all, I believe we got my brother Dial online.
Yes, sir. I'm definitely online.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us. Just quick up to date, you know, once again on the Man Talk Show. Brother Dial has been a minute since he's been on, but he's been busy on the political trail, handling a lot of business. Me and Sig's going into the choices, and we talked about the president that stepped down from the NAACP and the choice he made for the bigger picture. He stepped down. He wasn't told to step down, but he stepped down. He made that choice. Now, Sig brought up an interesting thing about people donating to nonprofits. We're not discouraging. Don't do that if you're doing other things. Now, is there an obligation, you guys, from the people that's receiving, I'm going to say nonprofits, they're getting a big check, okay? They're getting a big check. Do they have an obligation to check this person out? Is
no.
there a moral factor in it?
No. I mean, no, because people donate anonymously a lot. And you don't know where that money came from. And so you haven't been on organizations. You get donations, you're like, you know, you think, like, where the heck did this come from? You don't question it because you're working towards your foundation or whatever. Now, the things that you may question, the things that people question, and I know that I've been on boards where we question some money from certain people because of their criminal element. I'll say it that way. Was that safe?
Mm-hmm.
Because of their criminal
Good
element,
point.
You know. And then people would say, well, we're not taking money for da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, the hell you preach? It's money. Pray over it.
Okay.
And however they got it, get that to God. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
Okay.
You know.
Now,
so, and people,
now
people,
person,
I think
not,
people,
they're not anonymous now. The police did not say not anonymous, see?
Okay, and you know what? Let's be honest. This man did not decide to be racist last week. Okay?
Oh, no. We know that.
He's been racist all the time. Now we just have proof on tape. So, he didn't just decide to be racist. I'm going to be honest. When the NAACP took his money, they knew he was racist. When they allowed him to buy the Clippers, they knew he was racist. And so it's one thing to think it. He's not true to himself, because if he was true to the bone, this is how I think, and I don't know any better because the way I was raised, it wouldn't have been a big secret, and it wouldn't have been blown out of proportion. It would have been, oh, we know he's racist all along. But you can't be racist and on the NBA team when 70% of your players are black. So if we're going to call the NAACP to the board, let's call the NBA to the board. When they let him buy that team in 90 or whatever, 70, when did he buy the team? I don't know. He's had it for a grip.
I think it was in the 80s.
They knew he was racist then. But unlike Rush Limbaugh, he wasn't exactly shouting it from the rooftop. But they knew, you know. And these people, okay, yeah, he dated a girl who was half black, half whatever.
Mexican.
Yeah, Mexican. You know what? I don't like the racist people that will always say crap like, well, my wife is black, my husband's black, my best friend is black. I don't care. I don't care. That's that fool dealing with you, because there's no way in West Hill you're going to be racist and I'm black and you got something, you feel a certain kind of way about black people.
That's right.
I can't get down like that. So it all came to light. Yes, does he have the freedom to say what he want to say? By all means, exercise your First Amendment right. You also have to understand
that you also have the freedom to be prosecuted or persecuted
for your words.
That's a good point. I want to come back to that, because you brought up an interesting subject right there as far as the freedom of choice, freedom of speech. You know, did his rights get violated too? Regardless whether we agree with him or disagree with him, I want to come back to that. Darryl, what is your thoughts on that, brother?
Well, the bottom line is this: okay, where is his protection for his freedom of speech? That's very true. One, he thought he was having a private conversation.
That's right.
His conversation was taped unbeknownst to him.
No. He has to take the conversation because his memory's fucked. Oops, I'm sorry. He doesn't remember everything he says.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's why he has 35 tapes of him talking. He had a tape of conversation.
Well, there is no way that he believed the conversation was a private conversation between him and somebody he was screwing around with, the little Mexican girl.
His side piece. He made a choice to have a side piece.
Right. Now, his whole shit has been exposed for the racist that he is. And yes, I agree that if you feel this way about a group of people who are 80% of your league, 100% of your team, everybody on the Los Angeles Clippers is a black man.
Oh, you mean tell me there's not a Caucasian on that team?
Not a
Are you
one.
Sure? I'm gonna check the roster. Let's check the
roster.
No,
Yeah. Wait a minute. I think they don't have a lot. 1 second.
Let's check the roster on that one because
yeah
because now
well,
just real quick.
Yeah.
Just real quick. You seen that they put all on Facebook? They got 12 years of Clipper, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. That's wrong. I'm sorry.
Like I said, I mean, but for all those who were really Doc Rivers, who's the coach of the Clippers, who chose
yes.
to coach the Clippers, who used to play for the Clippers, knew that this man was a
wow.
racist.
Wow. Don't be going back, bro.
He knew he was a racist, but he chose to go back there. He chose to go back there despite the fact that he is a racist. But now you want to be all indignant of, oh, my God, I've just... No, you don't get that.
What?
You don't get that.
Exactly. You don't get to play in his playground and then want to complain about his quality of sand later. You know his sand was whack.
No.
Wow.
So you
say he's a hypocrite on his own beliefs and moral values?
Well, let me just put it to you this way. All right. If I'm really... Let's say that... We find out that the owners of Blog Talk Radio are chief contributors to the Ku Klux Klan, right? I will
yeah.
tell you for a fact that will be my last night on Blog Talk Radio. You will
okay.
not hear another word from me on Blog Talk Radio if that were to be the case. So,
okay.
but someone says, you know, this is, I'm morally outraged, I'm offended, so I'm just going to wear my jersey inside out during shoot-around and then go play the game. No. No. My black ass don't show up. My black ass don't play. If I feel that strongly about it.
Okay.
Either, I don't care what you do. My thing is, you pay me to do a job. I do my job exceedingly well. As long as my check is cash, I don't give a damn. And that's fine, too. That's fine, too. But you can't play it both ways. You either, this is something that I feel so strongly about, blah, 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 blah. Or, look, I ain't got to be his best friend to play with him, play under him, or play four. All I got to do is cash my check and show up to the arena on time. That's it. And that's
okay.
All.
Okay.
I just feel
so
that a lot.
You trying to tell me that the Doc Rivers made the choice of the money? He knew about his, the owner's thing. Are you tell? Are you, is that what you're saying, brother?
That's exactly what I just said. Doc understood the situation going in the door.
He knew. I agree. He knew.
He's going in the door. So there's no reason to feel all of a sudden, this is terrible, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Be quiet. The bottom line is this. Yes, I am. You can say that, okay, I am disheartened to hear what he has said about, African-Americans, as it relates to Magic Johnson, because the issue happened over Magic Johnson. The girl took Magic Johnson to the basketball game, and he went ape shit about Magic being at the basketball game. This wasn't even like, you know, some brother in the hood or anything. It was Urban Magic Johnson.
That's right, and I repeat, he's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, Urban Magic Johnson. One of the top 50 players, but in fact, one of the top 10 players of all time, Urban Magic Johnson.
That's right, that's right.
But y'all know what that Y'all know what that was.
Yeah. I mean,
Magic is packing, and oh boy, he's a little intimidated. That's all that was. Everything when it come down to it, it's that famous D war, and he couldn't measure up.
Oh! You know,
Yeah, you can hit that damn one more time. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's what it is. You know, I would love to sit down and have that conversation with him and explain to him that I understand his level of intimidation. And by all means, 4 inches is not big, and you should be intimidated.
So Siggy, you're trying to say that Magic got big hands, big feet, and
Magic has a rather impressive bulge, I'm not going to lie.
You know what? Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. We're not checking out the package, see? We're not doing that.
Oh, I'm sorry. But
inadvertently, I will be accused of any gay activities by mentioning it like, yeah, she right. No, you know what I'm saying?
No. I do not expect for them to agree with me. Let's face it, I'm sick and I got issues. Now, when two grown men, when you got two grown men together and there is no issue, and all of a sudden, one grown man turns into a little boy and starts feeling a certain kind of way, it's because he's feeling a little inadequate. Because as much money as old boy got, Magic should not be phasing him whatsoever. I'm just saying.
No, she right. She got a point there. It's like, guys, when we play in sports, you're in the shower. Who makes that first look?
Damn.
The gentleman all his life that he was inadequate and he wanted to know if size matters. And he started to feel a certain kind of way and put a little distance between him and Mandingo brother over there. I kid you not. I'm a people watcher. I have observed this. I've had my own little experiments in this.
Anybody from the Magic camp, please, we do not speak on the behalf of Signature Black. We do not speak on behalf of Signature Black.
My own twisted mind on the whole situation because I'm tired of it.
Now you want to be Christian.
No, you know what? The good thing is God knows me for me, so...
Let me get off that subject real quick. Let me swing into the choices in how about this, the choices that we make in a relationship, because you got a lot of people that make crazy choices in their spouses or the people they date, baby mama, baby daddy, and I think we talked about it before a couple episodes before. Don't get mad at the baby father that you picked out, young ladies. Don't get mad at the woman that you picked. Like, damn, I don't believe I did that. You knew damn well. What'd you pick her from? You got a baby mama. You met her in the strip club. She was on the pole.
They weren't picking. Come on now. They weren't picking no baby mama. They weren't picking no baby daddy. Their choice that night was a choice of a nut. Keep it moving.
But he didn't sit there and plan this situation out. Well, he wasn't prepared of the situation. And then he gets mad. I don't know why she act like this. Come on now, bro. I hear these young people, my baby daddy. I'm trying to get him to be a man. You picked this dude. What do you mean? Come on. He got tattoos down the side of his neck, pants is hanging down to his kneecaps, and you're trying to say, well, why can't he be a man?
Yeah.
You didn't choose me. You think I was a little boy.
Not necessarily my orange. Adjustments.
Down. We can decide conversation, man.
And then we're a little sidebar going on here. Anyway,
yeah. Well, so we all know that. can you talk to the ladies about the choice they make in men, and then down asking from the male perspective?
Ladies, honestly, let's be real about this. Whoever you choose to have sex with, and you're crazy enough to allow them to say, oh, "I don't like condoms." Or, oh, my God, we got caught up in a moment. No, don't get caught up in a moment, because that's your baby daddy for life after that. And make a better choice. And I know you ride in that moment and be hitting that level of euphoria. You need to pump the brakes and wrap it up. Ladies, and you can't depend on a man to always be walking around with a condom in his pocket, because, you know, he just picked you up at the grocery store. Where do you think he was at this morning? He's at the mall. So you need to protect yourself. You need to have more pride of self and make a decision consciously. Let's be honest. Whoever we sleep with could be a baby daddy, baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him tell you, oh, the doctor said I can't have no kids. He's 20 years old. We don't know how to find out he can't have no kids. He's still a kid. He ain't been to the doctor talking about, can you check my sperm level? I promise you, he hasn't. Men don't start going to the doctor after they get 40 and some woman is telling him, get to the doctor. So, no, that didn't happen. Protect yourself. Care more about yourself. Because once you have a baby, if you are a true parent, your life will change forever.
Yep,
that's right.
And pills are cheaper than Pampers. You got to do something
that
better for yourself. You've got to make better choices. If you're looking at him sideways and the only thing that you find appealing about him is he looked good, because once he opened his mouth, his second grade education came flying out at you, don't sleep with him.
Oh, say that again. Please say that again. Oh, he looks good.
He looked good, and he does. And he looked gorgeous, and I am a person who loves to have my arm adorned with eye candy. If you have no sense whatsoever, I do not allow you to speak around me. You can just look good while you stand next to me. And you won't be doing nothing else with me. You'll just be my entertainment for the night.
Hold up. Now, are you establishing that from the door? Like, you are eye candy for the evening?
Yes. Because I go to function, and if the mistress is not in town, I don't like going places by myself. So I'll go find me a piece of eye candy, and if they open their mouth and second grade come out, sweetie, you look good. Do you have a suit? Can we get you outfitted? I want you to go to function with me. I want you to smile and just look good. Laugh if the joke is funny, and don't talk.
Wow. That gets an explosion. Damn.
I don't have good sense. I don't have time to play games. But I'm not going to make a choice to. He is not ever going to look good enough for me to decide I want to sleep with him. Never. Ever. I've been like that all my life. You make choices you can live with. And then, just because he look good, don't mean all his kids going to look good. Didn't you see what Boom Chicka little boy look like? Ladies, if he's got 75 baby mamas, and he's dipping and dodging all of them and sleeping on your couch because all the rest of them looking for him, you might want to put him out and close the legs. Because you're just going to be added to the harem.
Wow.
We've got to start making a lot better choices when it comes to kids, because you're bringing kids into this world and these kids are lost and you're already lost and our generation left you behind because you came out a little crazy. Let's fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is not sleep with material. Some people are just friends. Some people are good for conversation. Some people are good shoulder to cry on. Some people you just watch movies and eat popcorn with. But you let them know from the jump. Stop looking for love in all the wrong places. You cannot stop for a man like you do a pair of shoes. A man is supposed to find you.
You took it back now. Ladies, listen, young and old, she said something. This comes from a woman. I had this argument early in the week with someone. Let the man find you. Don't you look for the man, because the man's going to look at you a certain way. Trust me, and it's not in the good eye. So
never.
Believe that.
It's all in the presentation.
It's
all in presentation. If you present to him a hoe, he's going to treat you like one. Believe it or not, no man will ever wife a hoe. Even if he decides to say, I do to you, you still just his hoe. You will forever be his side chick. You just happen to have his last name. The woman that he's doing this all for, that woman that he loves, the woman that he's sharing everything with that he don't share with you, that's the woman he's got the wife. If he cannot share things with you, if he does not treat you with utmost respect, he's not the man for you. And you are not the woman for him. And I don't mean anything wrong with either one of you. You guys are just not meant to be together.
Right. That's right. That's to all our fellas in the strip clubs. You ain't gonna find a wife there or a girlfriend. Stop it. Brother Dow.
Yes, sir.
Please. Your input, sir.
Okay. Let me go to the ladies first, and I'm gonna go to the brother second. To the ladies, yes. It says in the Bible, the man that findeth the wife findeth a good thing and findeth favor from the Lord. It does not say the man that gets caught by a woman findeth a good thing. No. Let him come to you. Zig's 1,000% right. Also, get to know who it is that you're dealing with. You know, you can read Steve Harvey's book as much as you want to. That 90-day rule thing, bunch of bull, to be perfectly honest with you. A brother's going to tell you whatever it is he needs to tell you to close that deal. If he's looking to close that deal, he's going to give you whatever it is he needs to give you in order to close the deal. That's whether the man loves you or the man despises you. It doesn't make a difference. Once he has your scent underneath his nostrils, it's about closing the deal. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank. But what you need to ascertain for yourself is what he actually feels about you, what he actually feels about himself, what he actually wants out of his life, what he actually cares to do, what he actually wants for you. Does he have thoughts of you, for you, about you? These are the things that you need to be able to find out during this time period while he's trying to close the damn deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find out who this man is, what this man's about, and is the person that he is, does it relate to the woman that you are? That's what you need to know. Now, if it's not, look, just like you found him or he found you, somebody else will come along right behind him. So, sweetheart, don't even worry about it. Let that sucker go. No matter how good he looks, no matter what he drives, no matter how he smells, how he dresses, who he reminds you of, none of that matters. What matters is does he exalt you? Does he lift you up? Does he raise you up? That's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's love. Love is the man that wants to protect and provide and love and care and nurture and lift you up. That's the man that you're looking for. Anybody else is just a space warmer. So, you know, if you want to deal with a bunch of space women, that's your choice. But readily identify who it is that you have in your midst. Is he king material, or is he just some joker? Up to you. Now, moving on to the brother, my brother. Let me make something perfectly clear. Yes, Diggy is 1,000% right once again. She's hitting homers. You cannot turn a hoe into a housewife.
Say it again, brother, my brother, please do.
Yeah, can't turn a hoe into a hoe. There's another cliche, and it's also very true. A man will go broke chasing women. You will go broke chasing women. But you're never going to go broke or lose women chasing money. Get on your grind. Get yourself straight. Figure out what you need to do for you. Don't worry about getting tail. Worry about being able to do you, support you, take care of you, provide for you. You worry about manning up and being able to be responsible for yourself. Now, once you're holding yourself down, you have the ability to hold down a woman, to be able to hold down children. You have the ability to be able to hold it down. But until then, you do not need to be trying to, let's say, extend the population any more than it already is, because you ain't ready to do so. Yes, you might have to dick to get the job done, but after the moaning and groaning is over, you're sorely lacking. So, get your shit straight first. One. Then after that, you worry about what comes next. And like I said, the right woman will come all on her own. She'll be right in front of you before you know it. And then when she is in front of you, then you need to be ready to deal with it. So
that's right.
You know, so don't worry about, you know, well, you know, I got these many honeys and that many honeys. The number of women that you slept with or the number of women that you can sleep with does not make you a man. It doesn't.
That's right.
You have the ability to do that from the time that, you know, you hit puberty. The fact that you have a penis and you know how to use it doesn't make you a man. The fact that you're a husband, that you're a father, that you are a friend, that you are a brother, that you are a son, that you are responsible, that you are dependable, that you're the one that stands the gap. When anything goes wrong, you're the one everybody comes to. That makes you a man. That's the man. Everything else is just icing on a cake. That's all it is.
That's right. That's right.
Brothers, make your choices just based upon the fact that you want to be the best you can be. And once you make that decision that you want to stand to be the best you can be, just watch them all flock to you.
That's it. That's well said, my brother. That's well said. Once again, you know, those just tuning in, and when I see we got a couple people just checking us out, you know, on Blog Talk. Once again, you're checking out the Man Up Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Nas. We got my brother Dow Harrington, my other brother, brother Eddie Taylor, with some family business. He got to take care of the family. And of course, we have the lovely Miss Sims Black online. You know, Tom is out and about handling his business. We wanted him to call in because we definitely want to hear his input on the choices and stuff that has been made, the NAACP, because we feel, you know, there's a lot of black people in the community. They have some questions about that. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, Tom knows everything that's happening on the West Coast, but he can give a perspective. And I'm pretty sure what's inside the ranks of NAACP, that, as you know, we're working with NAACP as well, that conversation has came up. You know, yeah, it caught a little – it didn't say a black eye. I would say – maybe a bruised jaw on this deal, because you have people of color questioning that. Even white media has chimed in on that. So, you know, brother, you know, Tom, I'm pretty sure we can talk about it. We can have him on the show next week. We can address that. Big shout out to my man Hassan Black, you know, once again. But I want to give a quick roll call. You know, I want to say congratulations and salute to the Game Strong talk show program. It's picking up steam, and we're very proud of that. Big shout out to Trey, you know, and what you're doing, my brother. You know, we're very proud of the Game Strong brand right there. We're very proud of that.
Yep.
Very proud. So, you know, so keep going. Check him out every Monday at 8 o'clock. He's going to, you know, get it going on. And, of course, I would be remiss not to say, of course, while Sig is on the line, I appreciate and love all the ladies at the Every Woman Talk Show. They're very strong women, different opinions, and we salute them. They come on every Tuesday. You can check them out. The ladies are very informative. And matter of fact, do I dare say this? For the last month of, what was that, we just came out of April?
Yep.
For the last, in the month of April, the Every Woman Talk Show took the number one spot on Shadow Wolf Radio as far as the numbers. Numbers never lie. Yep. Congratulations to Every Woman Talk Show.
Woohoo!
The ladies, they're kicking ass. I mean, I'm talking about major numbers. Last 2 months, they have ranked as the number one talk show on Shadow World Radio, and we're very honored and proud. We are, truly are. So, Nate, Sig, Jackie, you know, salute to Uli. We appreciate you guys. You, whatever you're doing, you're ringing bells. you're ringing bells, and people, they're telling me, like, yo, those ladies, they chiming in. So they got callers coming from PA, down south, West Coast, and people just listening, chiming in, even from Canada, Toronto areas listening. So, you know, we want to give our salute to them as well.
You know, to our man up brothers, we've been doing this for a minute now. Our numbers are consistent and stuff like that. But I enjoy my Friday nights with my men, you know.
Yes, sir.
Positive fellowship, and it's all good. However, we got another special request that came out for the last, you know, basically over the last month or two. People requesting the relations talk show Slow Jams come back. That was a pilot thing that we did, but the positive was there, and we are back this Sunday. We're back this Sunday, and we're very happy. We thank everyone for sending us the emails, the texts. We're coming back, and, you know, we'll have our ladies on, our special guest co-host. Well, she's going to be on there. Miss Jackie, she has something she want to talk about, something called Pillow Talk. Sig, this falls right in your alley. There's going to be some pillow talk. You know, she gave me a little segue of what's going on. It's going to be some adult talk and some adult music, but the input is in. You know, me and Dal talk behind the scenes after all the people requesting it for the comeback. And Jackie's like, I want to talk about pillow talk. I'm like, you know what, y'all nasty.
Oh, it's not so nasty, baby. It's life.
Oh, my God. And I just have a strange feeling it's going to be real interesting this week. She wants to talk about toys, so I'm going to leave that alone. But it's going to be on this Sunday at 8 o'clock, so it's going to be interesting. But let's get back to the choices. Dow just had a call just dropped, so we're going to get back to the choices. We talked about the men. We talked about the women. Now, Sig, let me ask you a question. What about the guys and the women who make the wrong choices and end up in a damn criminal system, in the judiciary system, based off of dumb things that they do? Can we talk to those people who keep making the same dumb mistakes? Please.
Oh, my God. I had this conversation with two people who made very dumb mistakes, and Jesus Christ, the hoops to jump through to keep them out of the system. Keep in mind that it takes us, for whatever reason, all freaking year to make a good choice. We pound the table and ask everybody's damn opinion about it. Should I do this? Should I do that? When we decide to do something stupid, we just do it.
Right.
We don't put any thought into it whatsoever. We take that split second and we ruin our life potentially forever. Young men, young women, if you get in the system, it is hard as hell to overcome that. For whatever reason, we are very judgmental as humans by nature. It follows you. That is a question they are legally allowed to ask you on a damn application. And when they say, oh, it doesn't matter, they're lying.
Right.
They're not going to hire you. They're going to hold it over your head. They're going to use that as one of the criteria to put you at the bottom of their list. So just think about what you want in the future. There are some things that we do, our knee-jerk reactions, that cripple us for life, and we end up in the system. We end up in jail. It's easier to walk away and be able to tell the story tomorrow as a free man or a free woman than it is to try to plead your case from behind bars with everybody looking at you sideways. Because regardless of innocent until proven guilty, that's a damn lie. Everybody say if they picked you up, they handcuffed, they took you away, you must have did something. But can we stop and put some thought into every action that we take? Consider the fact of what you do. It boggles my mind. The simple little crazy crap. You know that this person does not own a car. You know that this person does not have a damn license. If they pull up and say you want to go for a ride, tell them walking is healthier.
But you know what, I'm glad you said that because, all right, I hear people the young people all the time, you know, even as I was growing up, I made some mistakes, but I was called paranoid at some times. You know, young people, you just being paranoid, man, you know, you being scared or whatever you want to call it. You know, because you want to ask a question. Hey, listen, man, when did you get your license? Oh, why are you asking questions? Why are you in my business? But my thing is, you know, when we're talking to our young people, we're trying to educate them and trying to say, hey, look, man, don't do this. They're looking at us like we're talking a whole different language. Oh, man, you know, that's back in the day. You know, hold up, idiot. I'm telling you something real. You're walking down this damn path right now. You know, you're doing the same dumbass things. You're doing the same things to keep getting yourself in trouble. You wonder why you're not getting a job. Well, let me just kind of say this. You smell like weed every day. You don't groom. Maybe people may have seen you. Maybe an employer that you went to go interview with, maybe he drove past, he recognized your face because you were on the same block where the business is located at, idiot. So, I mean, how do we talk to those people? And there's other people who try to get influence from asking those questions. Like you said, hey, listen, this person doesn't have a license, but yet his homie's trying to get him in the car. Or, you know, the girls, the young girls or whatever, or people out together. Listen, girl, just stick this in your purse. They're in the mall. You know, it's all good. You know, I've done this before. It's all good. Go ahead. You know, you see, you're under 18. They ain't going to lock you down. They'll slap your hand and send you home. How do we talk
anybody,
to those people? Those
anybody,
who are
I do it. I do it daily. Anybody that tells you under this age, whatever, whatever, they trying people as adults for stuff left and right because you know better. Anybody that tells you, stick this in your purse, put this in your pocket, you'll hold this bag for me. Oh, my God. And this one that got me, I wanted to almost start a case this week with this kid. This grown-ass woman asked him to take something back to the store to get the money, but she didn't have a receipt. She stole the item.
Oh, not that return one.
To freaking Walmart, all places. Walmart is, and it's a deadly for you little penny ante crooks. Walmart is tired of getting hit. And they want to press charges against him. And he is dead. This is the sweetest, most innocent kid you ever want to see. Never done anything in his life. And he's standing there in tears. And God knows he puts me in these places for whatever reason, because I was not planning on going to Walmart that night. I just happened to be there. And his kid is crying, and everybody's around him, and my daughter's like, Mom. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? I don't even know this kid. But that's what it was. Don't, if somebody wants you to do something, listen to your inner voice. If it nags at you a little bit, say, I can't do that. And if they want to clown you, say, my mama will kill me if I do.
Mm-hmm.
You've
that's
got
right.
to make a choice that you can live with. If it wasn't for that, it's something about him that made me want to go to bat for him. And I'm like, no, the person needs to go after is the lady that asked him, his neighbor that asked him to return it. That's pretty logical here. Because when something happens, authority doesn't look at you. They don't look at you as if you made a mistake because they've heard all the lies and they've heard everything. They just think that you're just trying to beat them and get over it. They're not going to listen to you. And if you don't have anybody in your corner and stop listening to them people that's supposed to be your friends, they're not. They're leading you down the wrong path. Learn to make choices for yourself. If it nags at you, I can't say that enough. If it nags at you, don't do it. My mom's always telling us, if you feel funny about something, don't do it. And if you think you're still going to do it, remember that I will kill you. That kept me from doing a lot of things.
See, you know, you got the child services laws now that said we can't punch our kids in the neck for doing something stupid.
Yeah, right,
so,
whatever. Eat the brakes off of them until they get it right. We got beat. We turned up all right. You know.
Or use the phone book and the padded gloves. Oh, I'm sitting there telling something that happened in my house. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, wait a minute now. My mom used to whip us with a leather belt that had these big holes. She was the cops. She had these dying police belts. And then she went to some seminar one weekend, and she came back, and she said, I found out whooping you with leather makes your hide tough. Yeah, I'm telling it, because I was very upset with her. She went and cut down the tree backyard, and it grew out into these long, wispy things. We were like, what are you doing? Next summer, we start getting beat with switches, because you can legally beat a child with a switch. But this woman would tell you to go cut three yourself and braid them and tie a knot in the end. Are you kidding me?
Let me tell you some quick whooping story. My father, I graduated different belts. I went from the dress belt. I went to his police dress belt. I went to his utility belt. And I got tougher. Your mom was right. My hide got very tough. I graduated. The final belt I got was the weightlifting belt. I'm talking about the leather one. I'm talking about the Gold's Gym embroidered on the
back.
Oh,
yes.
It took a while. My father would spank me until I would drop a tear. So after a while, I stopped dropping tears. He's like, okay, I see you. You're tough now. Now it's time for me to knock you the F out. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, there's got to be something wrong in this picture. So, you know, there was no conversation. There was no mentoring involved. There was no, son, let me tell you what I did. You know, here's the speech where I got a spanking on my ass. Well, you know why we're here, right?
At least you got that. I would have took that. You know my mom gave syllable whoopings. You know what I'm talking about? Every freaking syllable was a lick. And I was like, what? That's your mom. If you could just quit talking to me. Because my mom could go back to the very first thing you ever did wrong in your life. Why am I still getting beat for something I did when I was two? I'm not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And she was
See, but you know what?
You
I like your mom.
Please.
Your mom at least talked to you.
I would rather just kind of beat you with no words.
My mother, she didn't know how to spank. She was all over the place with it. The buckle. I'm talking about days back in the day we used to have the belt, you know, remember the name buckles, you guys?
Yes.
I was a teenager with the name buckles. I used to tell my mother, I used to give her instructions. Listen, if you're going to spank me or hit me, let's try to keep away from the eyes, you know, the key essential parts, and use the leather. Let's not use the buckle. I mean, for real. That shit hurts.
But the problem nowadays is, you know, I was raised in love and logic thing where they came out with love and logic in early childhood development where they wanted to stop the spankings and let's put them in timeout and let's talk to them. Let me tell you what the hell happens in timeout. You put a child in timeout, they stand in that damn corner and they contemplate their next move on you.
Yep.
Kids are very
successful.
They're making choices. Very smart. Yeah, they are making choices. They are not good
choices.
I mean, seriously. That parents, let's be realistic. I'm not saying abuse a child because I will catch a case if you abuse a child. But there are some kids that need those seven key whoopings.
I agree.
Some people need them twice.
I agree.
And so,
I agree.
Mean, you the kids are growing up with no discipline over this love and logic and let me talk to you thing. My daughter tells my granddaughter, well, we're going to talk about this, you know, and they get an agreement. They have a contract. She tells what she did wrong. They talk about it. She gets her degree. She's not going to do it anymore, da-da-da-da-da. And she puts her in
a contract.
And I'm looking at her. You had to have a contract. And I'm looking at her.
A written
and I'm going,
contract.
No, it's a verbal one. I'm looking at her, and I'm going, she has to say she agrees. She has to say she agrees. And I'm looking at her,
what?
And then she puts her in timeout, and she sits in timeout, and she cries, and she doesn't say anything to her about it. And this is me, Addison. I will beat the brakes off you. Shut up. And she's quiet. And we're good. And life moves on. I don't believe in timeout. I believe in those nice little subtle in your ear threats.
See, you know what? I'm doing something that I do with Eddie sometimes near our meetings. I'm about to make this a topic one day. One of our topics got to be timeout versus what's the word we're looking at? Discipline. Yeah,
Sparing the rod.
Matter of fact, well said. Sparing the rod versus timeout. You know, in what corner? And I'm going to put it out there on Facebook land. You know, matter of fact, we're going to make that next week because I think that's an important topic. Where, you know, sparing the rod versus timeout. Which one is more effective? We got to put it out there. So that's the show next week, everyone.
And so I'm serious. And so to me, it's like, and then parents that have kids, and you say stuff like, I am that person that believes it takes a village to raise a child. I don't like noise, and I don't like unruly children. Let me explain that. I love bad children because they're exciting. We can go to the mall and hang out together and be bad. But you cannot
they're
be unruly,
exciting.
You cannot be hard-headed. They're exciting as hell. You cannot be unruly, and you cannot be disrespectful. We can be bad together because I break rules. But if
mm-hmm.
I'm in the mall and your child is running around willy-nilly like he lost his mind and he has no pigmentation in his skin, I'm so politically correct today, I am going to snatch that child up.
Don't you touch my child. What you going to do then?
No,
what's your choice then?
No, because I grabbed him, because he kept running. My son said, my mom's going to get you in a minute. And the little boy looked at him like, what? He kept running. Mom, please sit down. Please, James, stop. James, stop. Look, James, listen, sit your butt in that chair. Don't you move to your mama. You're ready to go. And I'm not playing. And then she came over there, and what she had to say was, oh, my God, what'd you say to him? I wish I could do that. No, if him listening to me means he has the utmost respect for me, not you.
But
you trying to logic with him and trying to let him have freedom, free to be him. He can be free to be him while I beat his butt and he beat him with some discipline and some boundaries. Kids need boundaries. Too many times today, kids don't have any boundaries. And they have too much damn input. They have no boundaries, and they have too much input in everything that goes on in the house. You are a child.
Exactly.
You need to pay a bill.
Staying in a child's place. I agree.
And if you're old enough to pay a bill.
Say it. You got to say it. Kill yourself. Yeah. You got to say it for me.
If you're old enough to pay a damn bill, get out. That's how I feel about it.
Well said.
Yes, sir.
I love what Sigrid said, man. What is your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I believe it does come down to, you know, our lack of judgment, our lack of decision making when these kids were a certain age. When they became of age, we didn't raise our kids. Not really. We let the streets raise our kids. We let MTV raise our kids. We let, you know, popular opinion raise our kids instead of us, you know, manning or womaning up and, you know, doing what needed to be done to raise our children.
It's crazy.
Okay.
It's maddening. It really is.
That we don't take time out to really invest in our children with our actions, not just our words. So, you know, we're telling, you know, time out and things of that nature. We weren't given time out. You know, our backs were kicked in. So, you know, because our backs were kicked in, you know, we had to learn to adjust on the fly, plain and simple. We had to learn to adjust on the fly. We had to learn to listen. We had to learn to cooperate. We had to learn that, okay, there are boundaries. There's cause and there are consequences for everything. If I make a mistake, okay, fine, I make a mistake. But if I willingly do something to hurt or to disrespect my family, I'm going to pay for it. If I don't do my best in school, I'm going to pay for it. If I don't do what I'm told to do, I'm going to pay for it. And you learn that through spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, just, you know, for me to tell you that, you know, we're going to take a time out, you know, time out from what? Are we playing a game? Because that's exactly what it looks like. We're playing a damn game. So you're telling me time out. You know, I didn't know it was time in. You know, so, what are you saying to me? What does all this mean? Because, I mean, a child understands that, okay, I told you don't touch the stove. And then you go ahead and touch the stove, and then I pop you on the hand. You understand if you touch the stove, I'm popping you on the hand. So that means
Right.
You know, you picked up your blocks when you were done playing with them, and you put them away, and I gave you a cookie. Oh, obviously, putting stuff away gets me cookies. So,
but you created a good choices. You created a good, and you know, and I don't mean to interrupt you, brother, but I just want to shine a light on what you just said. It was profound because you know, use it as a child, you know, a parent to a child, and putting away the blocks. You gave them options in making choices. Like if I make this choice, I pick this, put my blocks away, and this is the option that's been presented to me. You know, and I feel like when I get a reward for it, hold up, then the choices are easy right now because this is what happens when I put my stuff away as a child. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to point that out real quick.
Right. I mean, you do the right thing, you get rewarded for it. You do the wrong thing, you get punished.
You get rewarded for it.
You know, you're right. You get rewarded for it. So, you know.
Now, I'm playing devil's advocate real quick. Now, what about the people? And we know a lot of people out here who have not been exposed to good options, positive options. They don't know no better because they grew up in an environment where everything was pretty much negative. Their parents were making mistakes. The parents before them was making mistakes. They just grew up in the generational curses in an environment that they have not been awarded different positive entities. How do we talk to those who have very limited good options to make those proper choices? Or maybe they just turn the blind eye, or maybe they just have not maybe they have not grasped it, or they have not taught how to look for it. How do we help those who's been walking blind, as I'm saying, you know, with a choice of words?
Well, like with anybody, it's an offer. It's like with an alcoholic or someone who's drug addicted. They have to understand that they need help. They've reached a point of crisis that, you know, that they are willing to accept the aid that you're willing to give them. A lot of times,
mm-hmm.
people think, I know how to run my house. I know how to take care of my family. I don't need you or your advice and blah, 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 blah. When, you know, look, I'm not trying to disrespect you or how you feel about how you handle things. I'm just making a suggestion that maybe, perhaps, this might work for you because this worked for me. No more,
mm-hmm.
no less. Now, you know, like I said, if my advice is unsolicited, I didn't mean to offend. If my advice is unsolicited, I apologize. You know, if you need anything, I'm always around. And you just leave yourself
right.
open. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to keep coming at you, and, you know, you're defensive based upon the fact that you feel that I am judging you, that I'm being judgmental about what you have, what you don't have, what you've done, what you do. I'm not being judgmental of that. What I am doing is just being aware and trying to share with you my story and how this works
mm-hmm.
or did not work for me. So that's what I think. That's the best course of action for us anyway.
Now, you brought up something real good. I'm going to swing the signal on this point after this. Now, the person, you're giving advice to maybe someone either young or maybe your age or a little young or whatever on, you know, trying to positive suggestions. But yet they got people in their ear, like their mother or their father, uncle, whatever. Y'all, don't listen to that nigga. You know, listen to me. You know, I'm family. I'm blood. You know, and then, you know damn well we got families and all our families who, you know, they'll swear they have this PhD education and they know better. But, you know, this is what I'm just telling you, listen to me, feel me? You know, don't listen to that nigga. You know, forget that mentor. How do we talk to those? Because, you know, sometimes you got people that's told or peers. You know, how do we help those out? I mean, how do we help reach them to give them positive options and choices? See?
For me, that's a battle. That is truly a battle. For me, it's about, I'm not going to come at you with my advice. I'm not going to give you my opinion. We're going to have a conversation, and we're going to keep having a conversation, and we're going to build that relationship.
Good.
And I'm going to be there for you because the day is going to come when
yes.
you're going to realize for self, hey, Sig, I need to make better choices. What do I do? This is what I know because this is what I've lived with. And then you remind them that just because you are in a situation doesn't mean you have no choices. You do have choices. You can either be like that situation or you can be the opposite of that situation. And
mm-hmm,
you can
mm-hmm.
put yourself in different positions. And when they have those friends that are not good for them and they're listening to that crazy, it's always the craziest family member that wants to tell everybody what to do, that don't have their life together. And you want to listen,
that's
and that's
right.
your favorite uncle or aunt, because that's my favorite uncle. I love him.
Yep.
And so, and you just kind of laugh, and I always tell them, because, you know, people are like, well, what would you do? You don't have a problem. Yes, I do. I have a crazy uncle who was just a nut. He was a drug dealer, but he was
yeah.
my favorite uncle. But he always wanted to tell me what to do, and I used to look at him and go, really? Because then Mama just arrest you? Because we're not going there. So you just
right.
have to, like, accept them for who they are, love them as they are, and let them know that you're not taking that road, and you appreciate what they have to say or whatever, but, you know, you're going to make some big boy, big girl choices for yourself. And then if you have those friends that are constantly trying to get you to do this when you know doing this is not what you need to be doing, you need to distance yourself from negativity. It's hard to try to pull up and do something different or do something positive when you're surrounded by your same old thing or the negative people in your life. So
that's
you
right.
gotta, you know, it's for me. I just build relationships with them and let them know that, you know, it's okay to do some things without certain people in your life because they're not a good thing in your life. And I had one girl
mm-hmm.
say, "Well, how do you do that?" I said, "When you see me most of the time, don't you see me by myself?" She's like, "Yeah." I said, "I have friends. I have lots of friends. I go places by myself because I have no influences but me. I make my choices for me. I'm not running with the pack. I could care less what the masters think. I could care less what everybody else is doing. And that's because my mom always told me, when you do something and you get in trouble, because I'm not going to lie, I was bad. You better be by yourself. Don't be following nobody into hell, and don't be leading nobody down the road to hell, and don't have nobody walking beside you talking about they're your friend. Be by yourself.
Ooh.
So I learned that and what she was basically telling me was make choices for you, nobody else. And that's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make choices that you can live with. And that's what I tell my kids all the time. Make a choice you can live with and one I won't kill you about. We're good.
Well, I think you know what you said and Dal said is about, this is just my opinion, just based off of a little bit what you guys are saying and my thoughts. I think once you develop a relationship, a communication line to them, you can possibly help those people. Because sometimes you got people out here, what I call the temporary mentors, or those who just want to say, well, you shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. You know, they give their quick opinion because at the moment they disagree with it. But what are you really doing to help this person? You know, what else are you doing? Are you talking to them? Or are you just talking at them? Are you talking to them? Are you kind of having a conversation, like you said, with them? Going in depth. How many times that many of us, I'm talking about all of those listening to the Man of Show right now, how many times that we sat down and talked to somebody else that you see, hey, look, you know, I see you every day, you're going through something. Let me talk to you. Because, you know, how many of us do that? We don't do it all the time. I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I may see the same brother, homeless all the time, always asking me for money every single day. I may get money here and there. Maybe I need to ask, hey, brother, what's going on? You know, what is your situation? What's going on with you? But we don't do that. Sometimes we as a society, we don't do that. We don't have those conversations with people. We claim to be either Christians or people about our community, respect the community. We don't make that choice to try to talk to them. You know, see where they at this point. And I think you're right. And I know that you're right, Sid. You said having a conversation. Dial said talking to these people. You know, developing that relationship. I mean, you know, I'm not saying bring him home, but, you know, talk to them. Find out what's going on. Because you never know. It's something that you can possibly help them with. Give them advice on, instead of just bypassing them or giving them some quick little advice. I mean, I definitely believe the conversation and developing some type of relationship with those that you want to help to not make those wrong choices has to be established.
I agree with you. And you know what? Those people that we see, and we're all guilty of it. And you know, because there was a lady I used to see every day. She was homeless. I used to see her every day. And she slept in this park. And on the mornings when I would go get breakfast, at first I never said anything. We just said hello. When I would go get breakfast, though, I always got three meals, one for me and two for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said thank you. And we dealt with our relationship. Not until a storm was coming did I actually stop to have a conversation with her. And that was because I was in my office. They announced the storm. The sirens were going off. And I was like, my lady in the park. She's got to get to a shelter. That was my thing. And there was a cop. I went and found the cop, and I knew they were, and I went to get her a shelter. And I had never, and I realized then, because I don't know her name. I just, she's my lady in the park, and I buy her breakfast. And so when I found out her story, had I found out her story sooner, I wouldn't have been in a panic that day. She lost her house in that mortgage thing. It was just her. She didn't want, her kids moved away. She didn't want them to know she lost her house. And so.
Really?
She did not want anybody to know. Pride was going definitely before fall. And so when we found her, and she was in the shelter that night, and the next day I took her, we got her somewhere to live, got her back on her feet. It was the wintertime by the time that happened. I had seen this lady every day for 9 months before then.
You mean telling me this woman lost her home, she didn't tell her kids that she was homeless?
She did not tell them anything. She lied to them and told them she was going on a cruise. She was going to be gone for a long time, and she was disconnecting from the world. That's what she told them. So they think that she's vacationing, and she had lost everything.
Wow.
And And you're right. We walk past these people, and it's not the people that you see randomly. I mean, those people that you see every day. And it dawns on me now that you say that, that you are crossing that person's path for a reason. It's nothing.
No, you're right there. You just said something right there. You see someone every day, and they either ask for some money or they're saying something, but yet you don't even know the story. You don't know, you know, as Darryl would say, you don't know what's their chapters, what's in their book. You just know what the cover looks like, but you have not read the book or tried to, you know, find out what the table of contents is all about. But that woman, you know, that's wow. So she was willing to be homeless and tell her kids, and her kids probably would have helped her.
Well, after she got back on her feet, I convinced her to call her kids, and she called her kids, and I got to meet her kids. She has some really great kids, and they were, like, could not believe she never told them. And she was, worked two jobs to put them through college and everything. She was totally embarrassed that she let herself get caught up in a situation where she lost everything. And then she was living in a car, and then her car got jacked. And it was, she had just, the 9 months when I saw her, and she was always happy. Oh, my God. She was always in a good mood. She was all, she has charisma. She was bubbly. But I never had a conversation with her because I was so busy going about my day. And the least I could do is buy this woman breakfast. I should have took her to breakfast and had a conversation with her the first time I saw her.
See, exactly. I mean, you're buying lunch for her. I mean, well, breakfast for her every day, but you didn't have the conversation to the person that you're buying food for. Wow.
That's deep.
That is deep. I mean...
And it's so good because then I thought, you're like, okay, you buy it. And you're right, I was buying her breakfast. And so this one guy was like, why do you order three breakfasts? What are you doing? I said, there's a lady that lives in the park, and I give her breakfast. I give two meals to her, and I keep one for myself. And she never complained. She never said, well, I would prefer to have this or anything like that. And one day I did ask her that. I said, do you want something different? And she's like, no, I happen to love breakfast. Okay, well, I'm getting her two breakfast meals then. And so, but I never found out her story. And that shook me because that is so unlike me. I talked to a wall. Why did I not talk to this lady sooner?
But you know what? It's that time you made the choice to do that and you helped her life. I mean, maybe something she had to kind of go through and realize that maybe something that, well, you had to go through and deal with to make you come with that choice. And, you know, and I definitely salute you on that one. I mean, because, you know, I'm sitting here getting a little misty-eyed hearing it.
She's a wonderful soul. She's such a great lady, and she was just always happy, you know. But those people that
despite
she
her
sees
situation,
she was happy that she lived in the park, and I was grumpy because I had to go to work. Now, what does that tell you?
Wow,
I needed
she
my
was happy
work, you know?
No matter what. But you still went to work, and she was just happy.
She was just happy.
Wow.
A very happy person, and so. She felt like she made her bed, she had to lie in it, and she didn't like sharing with people because a lot of times people don't like sharing with people. But like Eddie had mentioned on the show before, people come up to he and I that we don't know and tell us their whole life story. And I used to go, why the heck did you do that? Because I know I look evil when I'm walking down the street. And people were like, you make eye contact with everybody, and there's something in your eyes. And so that's how I've developed relationships with people. That's how I've helped people or whatever. So if somebody has something they want to say and you don't know them, listen to them. Because sometimes just being able to tell a total stranger something makes a world of difference to them. You have no idea.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know, I think that it's not also when we talk about choices and the people that we talk to, I think also it's ourselves when we wake up every day. We have a choice, and I know this kind of goes hand in hand. We have a choice in how we act in our attitude. You know, we can be faced with so much adversities and problems and challenges and things, that whether it's on the job, school, family, whatever, but we have a choice in how we respond. And, you know, I want to talk about that before we come to tell into the show about choices in ourselves and our attitudes, not just our actions, but the attitudes. I think it's the attitude, and like you said earlier in the show, presentation. It all kind of trickles to all together, your attitude, your presentation. You have a choice when you wake up in the morning what type of day is going to be. You know you may got some challenges at work or you may get some challenges at school, you got some challenges at home, but you still have an attitude in how you are, how you're going to deal with it. And I know when I wake up in the morning, I'm optimistic. Okay, you know what? I know this is going on yesterday. I know this is happening right now in my life, but this is the attitude I need to have to attack this day. This as I must have, you know, and sometimes you'll run to people who are just having a bad day. They want to be nasty to you for whatever. It's how you respond. You don't got to respond because they're having a bad day. It's your attitude. It's the choice that you make. Because with some people, you treat them nasty because they're having a bad day, they're going to respond back to you. There's been times when people I've bumped into or I've dealt with, they've had a bad day. I'm still professional. I'm still, you know, well, I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, what else can I do to help you out? Just because I had a positive energy or attitude, they say, you know, I apologize. I'm just going through something, man. Let me just holler at you. You know, this was going on. And it's changed. So I believe that positive choices in your attitude and what you do when you wake up in the morning can definitely, definitely make changes in your everyday life. What do you think, Sig?
Oh, my God, I so agree with you. It's and those people who you say good morning to every day, and no matter what you say, how you doing it, they're always, you know, I got rheumatism, da-da-da-da-da. You know, and for those people who wait, there's a lady that tells me that every freaking day. I told her I know her diagnosis by now, and I hand her a Tylenol every morning. I don't know what she does with it, but I give it to her. So I can't stand negative people. I mean, everybody has to vent. We go through things, and that's cool. I can deal with you needing to vent, and I can be there and help you with that. Don't do it to me every day because then I'm going to make some changes on you. And then those people that say, oh, my God, I hate Mondays. And I go, they go, don't you just hate Monday? No, I love Monday. It starts off my week. I don't get Monday blues. I can't afford to get Monday blues. If I get pissed on Monday, I'm going to have a very bad week until Friday.
There you go.
You've got to wake up. Yeah, you've got to wake up and say, put tomorrow behind you. It's gone. We cannot do a damn thing about it. Whatever happened yesterday, anything that you couldn't handle, give it to God. It wasn't yours to take care of. You've got to start every day with a positive thought, or you're not going to want to get out of bed in the morning. And speaking of self-choices, when you get to the point where you don't want to get up to go do whatever it is you go do every day, when it gets to the point where you're dragging and you're fighting with yourself to get up, it's time to make a choice in what we do. Do something different because you're hurting yourself.
Good point.
You're hurting your family. You're hurting everyone around you because you've got a negative attitude. You've got a negative aura about you, and you're feeding that to everybody that you walk into because you're so unhappy that you're now disgruntled within self. And the worst thing to do is to wake up and be disgruntled within self because you don't even like you. Every day will be a bad day for you, trust me. You've got to make that choice.
You don't even like you. I love that. You have to say that again. I love that.
If you are disgruntled with yourself, you don't like you because you're no longer angry at the situation. You're no longer angry at your boss or your husband or your kids or the dog who keeps running all night long. You're angry because you're letting all that happen in your life, and you've managed to take all the little things and roll them up into one big ball, and you're holding on to that ball of negativity, and you're disgruntled with yourself, and you don't like yourself. So stop not liking yourself, double negative. Stop doing that. Know that you are the best you that you could possibly be, and no matter what is going on outside of you, it's okay because that you can handle, you will, and that you can't, give it to God. I'm a big idea of give it to God. Things happen, people come at me, and they're on level 10, and I'm like, everybody thinks I'm always on. I'm not a level 10 person. A level 10 will get you shot with me. I'm going to give you to God, and I walk away. When they calm down, we can have a conversation. And then
there
people know. And those people that are like all kind of grumpy or whatever, when they say good morning and they go, hi, Dad, and they go, oh, hi. And I go, hi, how are you doing? And they go, I'm okay, how are you? I'm peachy. I don't know what people think is funny about this little black woman saying she's peachy, but their whole attitude changed. And I've always said I was peachy, even when I wasn't peachy, because trust me, I am not a peachy person. I am not bubbly. That's not me. I'm always happy. I'm very, very happy in my life, but I'm not bubbly. And people who are bubbly overwhelm me. I'm like, you got a whole lot of personality because you put it in your corner. But
you smile for no damn reason.
You know, that's their personality.
But they made their choice to be that person.
And yes, and I think it's really, really great. I went to my favorite restaurant for breakfast. This, as soon as I walked through the door, this girl's all, I'm like, whoa, I will tip you not to do that. And everybody's like, he told you not to do that to her. She tips really well, but she's not a bubbly person. She'll talk to you, but this girl was like, oh, my God, it was like walking to a neon light show. Whoa, where did she get that energy from? It's still dark outside. But, and then I told her, I said, there's nothing wrong with your personality, sweetie. You're a waitress. You're going to do very well because you're going to be that personality that people other than me need in their life when they're trying to get something to eat. So you keep doing you. You can do that every morning when I walk in. Don't let me change you. I'm going to always tell you to put it in the corner, and I'm going to tip you well for that, and we're going to be just fine. Don't change you for me. Her personality is just awesome. It's just bright light, and I'm a nocturnal person. It's like, whoa, where do you get that? But she wakes up every day. She wakes up every freaking day like that, and it's like, wow, I'd hate to be in her house in the morning. I like music. That's it. But
she's too damn bubbly.
Oh, my God. But she, she's bubbly, and that's cool, and it works for her. Now, the day that I walk in and she's not bubbly, I'm staying for a while because something's not right in her world, and we're going to fix it. We're going to beat up whoever made her unbubbly because that's going to be a really bad thing for her.
Okay.
She's not going to enjoy her day.
We got brother Daryl back on the line. I know you had a drop call. You back with us, bro?
A drop call. He hanging out with someone like Tom. Did him and Tom switch phones? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, he's making choices. Maybe he's doing a nasty. I don't know. But it's all good.
Wait a minute. We can't listen. I told y'all about this.
You know, doing a nasty. There you go, BJ. But listen, it's coming to that time where we do our closing remarks. First of all, you know, our brother Edward L. Fairley had to handle the family business because, you know, he was sick last week, but he's doing what a man's supposed to do as far as hold down his family, take care of his family. His wife is not well, and he's doing what a man's supposed to do. And we want to say we salute you, man. We miss you, of course, but I know that you got to handle your business. We're very, very proud of our brother. Brother Eddie, you know, handle your business. You know, everybody feels better than you know, the Fairley house, man, definitely. You know, but let's get in this closing remarks. Sig, thank you. For those who listen to the Man of the Talk Show, Sister Sig has held it down for us this evening. And after Brother Edward L. Fairley, usually she'll chime in a little later on in the shows, but she held it down. And I want to be the first person to say thank you, and I love you for it.
Aw, you're welcome. Love you, too. You guys know this is my best date ever, even though I did have a date last week that didn't count. This is my best Friday night date.
That was funny, but that's another story. That was hilarious. I got a chop for you on that one. But listen, what is your closing remarks before we spring it down? You got to close your remarks.
In life, we've got to make better choices for ourselves. We've got to make better choices for our families. We definitely, as a community, have to make better choices and help the children to make better choices. And if they're younger than you, they're a child. Help them to make better choices. Talk to them, not at them. Don't preach. And take the time out to listen and find out what's really going on with them. And just wake up every day and be positive about it.
That's very well said. Brother Dow, you back with us? I mean, he still got some hold. But, Dow, you bumping?
He could at least, now that you can let us hear. You had to let us hear the sidebar earlier. I'm just saying. Anyway.
My closing remarks is, you know, Dow, that's you?
No, this is Q from Atlanta. I was listening to you guys, but I had a quick comment after you finished.
Okay, how you doing, Q?
Hey.
Oh. I'm sorry, we had Daryl on the line. Q, how you doing, brother? We haven't spoke to you in a while, brother. How you feeling?
Life is great, man. Even through it,
Oh man, definitely, brother. We just closed out the show with choices, my brother, man. You have any remarks to address with choices? You know, we have some young people listening in New York and New Jersey.
Absolutely.
Your thoughts, brother?
Absolutely. Very quickly, the number one thing from a cat who is in the streets doing dirt, things that I never got caught for, is reshaping the mind. While you love your family and you love your friends and you love your people, the first person you got to protect is you. You can't be a soldier for a failure, meaning that you can't be a soldier for something that ain't benefiting you. No matter what group you are, I've even had to tell dudes that if you got to go against your mama to make sure you all right, then you need to find out if you're right and go do it. because at the end of the day, it's your life, and you got to elevate and be able to blame yourself for your successes and blame yourself for your failures and not point to the white man, that female, mom and dad. You got to own what you operate in. So, you know, if a brother get on, get you some apps on your phone, Mind Tools is a great one for brothers. I got these little
Yes, I know about that.
And, you know, just make sure you get your thought up, because you can't blame everybody forever. It has to be your decision.
That's well said, my brother. Definitely well said. I like the fact that deserved applause, brother, because I think the fact when we make our choices, I like the fact you said of us owning our successes and failures. You know, you got to understand, you know, take that into account. Because a lot of young men and women don't take, you know, acceptance and accountability to the choices and the successes and failures that they deal with. You know, you made the choice, you know, things failed, that's on you. Accept it. Own that. It's going to make you stronger at the end of the day. Accept the failure. Okay, no, damn, I did this. I made this decision. I got this in my bed. You know, that old cliche, this is my bed. I got to lay in it. I made this bed right here. I got to lay in it. But this is how I'm going to do, because tomorrow's a new day. I'm going forward. So I'm not going to make that same mistake. You know, so kind of piggyback what you said, Brother Q, you know, we make mistakes, but don't make it a habit. You know, you may make a mistake. You make the wrong choice. We all go through that. But try to learn from your mistakes. You know, own that mistake and say, you know what, okay, I'm not going to make the same mistake tomorrow. Because when you start making the same mistake over and over again, what you're doing is not working. Now it becomes a bad habit. So I tell you, love yourself. The choice is in loving yourself. Choose you first. And then after you choose you, choose God. Let me say choose God first, excuse me, because I'm a Christian man. Choose God, choose yourself, and everything else should fall in line. You know, that's really what I have to say. I think the panel said enough. You know, Sig, you definitely hit it, Daryl hit it, and, of course, Q. Anybody else, any final comments before we close on out? Because I just got a text from Rick City 911. The officers in North, one of my partners, Sergeant, okay, is reading this here. His choices are, he said, tell a fellow stop making dumbass choices and he won't lock him up. All right. Rick City 911,
you know
I hear what you are. He's right.
When he locks those people up, for some people that's a blessing for them, because that's the only group feeling that they have. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on this thing right now called Your Mama Taught You Wrong, because a lot of these young dudes, they know how to be a servant to a female and treat a female and get her in bed, but they don't know how to treat themselves. So getting arrested is just like, ooh, I can go on this vacation for the next 8 months to a year with my homies. You see what I'm saying? Jail isn't the shame thing no more the way it used to be. It's a way to feel love for a lot of these cats. So the police officers got to find a new tactic, because all the police officers doing is working for the stock market.
That's a whole other topic we definitely delve into, because we know the incarceration is in the correctional facilities have became a business. That's something we definitely could talk about on another show. Just real quick, Brother Q, what is the the thing you said you just worked on, let some of our listeners know so you can chime in and, you know, check you out.
Yeah, you can check me out, Manhood Lessons on YouTube. I just started back. You can contact us, Manhood Lessons Radio on Facebook. I'm going to try to reach out to you and get an interview going so we can just double collab. And I'm going to be working on some stuff, man, as far as solutions. And I'm glad you are familiar with Mind Tools, because that's the type of stuff I'm dropping on cats.
It's important. It's important, brother. I mean, definitely, you know, let's check out my man, Brother Q. We're definitely going to be collaborating, you know, we get on YouTube. And also, Sig is in your area, brother. So definitely, you know, you definitely need to collab. But once again, we want to take everyone to listen to the Man Up Talk Show. Tonight was about the choices that we make, a lot of great input. And, you know, we love everyone. Just remember, love yourself, love God, Think about the choices you make. Listen to those older people out there that's walked that walk already, who's already walked down that path, because they're living for a reason. They've been living here for a reason. So please, please, please be careful, everyone, and God bless. Love you all. Good night, everyone.
Playback.
Say good night, Sid.
Good night.
Shadow, 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 World, 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 World